Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark. This is Jesus is with his disciples at this point. And so hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words of the Gospel of Mark. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. What is your cross? What cross do you bear? What cross have you borne? What crosses have you borne and do you bear now? I have you maybe not thought of that very much. We read these words of Jesus when he says, "If any wish to follow me, you must deny yourselves and take up your cross." We read that it comes up twice in every three-year cycle of lectionary, the readings that we do on Sundays, and then I also get another similar reading that comes in out of the Gospel of Matthew once in that three-year cycle. So you've probably heard Jesus say this a few times. If you've been in the church, if you've been here for a while, you've probably heard that phrase. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So what cross do you bear? What cross do you carry? And the Gospel of Mark that we read is the same way that the Gospel of Matthew in the retelling of this story. Jesus says the exact same words. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke also tells this story. Luke adds a word. In Luke, Jesus says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Luke adds that word, daily. Then there's another spot in Matthew where Jesus is talking to the people and is talking about who is worthy of following him. And Jesus said, "If anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus doesn't say this anywhere, which is kind of unusual. I would think that in the Gospel of John, his version of Jesus would be one that would say these words. But Mark, Luke, and Matthew all have this particular story of Jesus with the disciples talking about the suffering, going to be killed, raised, and take up your cross. And in all three Gospels, this is part of a longer narrative that's in all three that begins with the feeding of the 4,000 when Jesus is teaching, and there's a big crowd that needs to be fed. And Jesus feeds them all with a couple of loaves and fishes, and they end up with baskets of leftovers. And then from there, there's this argument that Jesus has with the Pharisees, and then Jesus and the disciples get into a boat, And while they're out on the water, the disciples start talking amongst one another because they realize they've only brought one loaf of bread with them. And Jesus gets a little testy with them because they're worried about it. And he says, well, didn't we just feed 4,000 people with a couple of loaves and fishes? And how much did we have left over? And I imagine the disciples maybe a little bit sheepishly kind of going, well, we ended up with a lot more than we started with, Jesus. And so, duh. And Jesus says, you still don't get it. You just don't get it. And then they come back to shore, and Jesus asks them the question, who do they, people outside, who do they say that I am? And then Jesus asks the disciples directly, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. And then Jesus announces that he must suffer and be killed and will rise again. And in Matthew and in Mark, Peter then rebukes Jesus. Luke doesn't record this, but Mark and Matthew do. Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Those are pretty strong words. Call someone a Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And he says that Peter's words are not divine, or Peter's thoughts are not on divine things, but on worldly things. And the word Satan in Hebrew doesn't mean a devil figure or a personification of evil, or, you know, so you think of the devil, a guy with a pitchfork or whatever. It really just means adversary. A personal stumbling block that keeps one from focusing on God. Many of the images of a Satan as the devil really comes more from medieval literature and superstition than it does the Bible. But Jesus calls Peter a Satan, a stumbling block, an adversary here. Rebukes Peter, and Peter has just said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. He's just admitted to that. And then as soon as Jesus says something different than what Peter wants, Peter rebukes him. And Jesus offers this message of needing to deny yourself and take up a cross to follow him. And he promises a life gained to anyone who does it. And also promises a life lost to anyone who does not do that. And then in all three Gospels, the end of this narrative is Jesus then taking the disciples, some of the disciples, up the mountain to see the transfiguration when Jesus is up there with Moses and Elijah. So all three Gospels have this long narrative beginning with the feeding of the 4,000 through the transfiguration, and they all include the story that we read in today's text. And that lends it all particular importance because it's pretty rare in the Gospels to have any kind of lengthy set of stories all show up together in the same order and with most of the same words. All right, Luke also doesn't have the story with the arguing with the Pharisees or the discussion in the boat over the bread, but otherwise they have the stories are all lined out in the same way, use almost all the same words. It's so rare in the Gospels. Even the way that they all tell the story of Holy Week and crucifixion and Easter vary much more than this narrative. And that says to us, I think, to pay attention. It says to us, this is really important because all three Gospel writers thought it was all important enough to put all of this in. And so we ought to pay attention to it. And it is really important. This narrative, the feeding of the 4,000 through the transfiguration in all three of these Gospels, is the beginning of the end for Jesus. This is the hinge point in all three of those first three Gospels. The disciples so far have seen Jesus heal. They've seen him do miracles. They've heard him teach. They've heard him preach. And it was enough for them to finally say, we believe you are the Messiah. We believe you are the Christ. Jesus has gotten them to the point of believing. And then, as Jesus likes to do, he overturns the tables of their belief. And he says, I am the Messiah. You're correct. I am the Messiah. But I am one who must suffer. I am one who must be rejected. I am one who must be killed. And I am one who will then rise up after 3 days. To which Peter says, no. No, you are the Messiah. You're supposed to overthrow Rome. You're supposed to get them out of our country. You're supposed to take the throne of Israel and rule all of the world. You are to bring honor back to Israel. And those are all the things that Jesus was tempted by in the wilderness that we read last week after his baptism. Goes into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan. Jesus has already dealt with all of that and rejected that vision of a Messiah. Because that kind of Messiah would be no different, really, than the Roman Emperor, Caesar. Except that it would now, instead of a Roman Emperor, it would now be a Jewish version of a military despot and empire builder. That's not how God works. That's not what God is about. And Jesus lays out what this kind of Messiah is. And what following him looks like. He says, I am meant to suffer. I am meant to be killed on a cross, Rome's torture execution device, and then rise from death. And if you want to follow me, your only option is to take up your cross and follow. No cross, then there's no following. Being a disciple has defined within it to be a cross bearer. We're not followers until we take up our cross. Until we crucify that in ourselves which is not of God. Until then, we're just looking through the windows and voyeurs of faith. We're swimmers poised on the pier, afraid to jump in, or the ones who wade in the very shallow water because we fear the cold water touching our bellies. We're not swimmers until we swim. We're not singers until we sing. We're not Christians, we're not disciples until we take up our cross and follow Jesus. What is your cross? And imagine if the crosses that are in here, and we have many, or the crosses that maybe are on your jewelry, imagine if those crosses didn't just remind us of Jesus' sacrifice on one of them, which they are symbols of, but what if they also reminded us that we are to take one up as well? And just as the crosses that are in here are different, we have some made from old Christmas trees, one made from other kinds of wood, we have a brass one, we have gold and silver ones as jewelry that people are wearing. Just as all these crosses are different, our crosses will also be distinctly our own, though they will be of the same form and substance, but they will be distinctly and uniquely our own. What is your cross? Do you have one? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about it? If Jesus were standing at the doors as you were exiting after worship, saying good mornings, and said to you, shook your hands, says, good morning, so good to have you here, so good to have you with us today, but don't forget to pick up your cross on the way out. No leaving it in the name tag bin this week like you did last week. I'm Jesus, I saw it. Take it out into the world with you. What would that cross look like? What does that cross look like? Or what if Jesus greeted you at the door and said, good morning, it was so good to have you here, but I've noticed that you've been coming here for a long time and you still don't have a cross. Today would be a good day to build one. What do you build? What does it look like? What is your cross? And that's quite the question. It's a big question, and I can't answer that for any of you. I'm not sure I can answer it very well for myself. That's a big and difficult question. So many of the crosses that I think I'm bearing are actually pretty trivial. And I don't want to lead you with a string of examples, so I'm not going to do that either, but I do want you to think about it. And I think this could also be a great conversation to have Wednesday night when we're having our soup. Ask one another, what is your cross? What does your faith journey look like? Tell me about it. And maybe this is a question that we need to ask more often in the church. Maybe we could even ask, what is the cross that Plymouth United Church of Christ bears? So I can't give you any answers, but I can give you a bit of help to think of it in relation to sacrifice. What is your cross? What is it in your life, or what is it in the world, that now that you have encountered Jesus, you realize, I need to deny myself and take up my cross? So I will leave you with that question. Let us pray. Holy Messiah, Christ, cross bearer of our lives, we have heard your words to deny ourselves and take up our crosses if we wish to follow you. We do want to follow, but aren't always sure what those words mean. And even when we have a sense that maybe we figured it out, we have such difficulty staying true to it once we leave this place and go back into your world. Help us through this Lenten journey to be more faithful, and to be as willing to do the hard and difficult work of discipleship as we are to drink at your fountain of joy and grace. Amen.